Good morning and welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab at our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. It is Holy Trinity Sunday. That's the Sunday that we will recite the Athanasian Creed. We are going to chant it alternating verses today, and we'll give that a try, and we'll contemplate this grand mystery of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's Memorial Day weekend. I was reminded as Chuck is playing some patriotic hymns. Tomorrow, today, we remember those who have served for our country. And allow me to introduce our hymns. We're following Divine Service Setting 3, beginning on page 184 of the hymnal. The opening hymn, 507, Holy, Holy, Holy. The hymn of the day, 498, Come Holy Ghost, Creator Blessed. Distribution hymns, 822, Alleluia, Let Praises Ring. 940, Holy God, We Praise Thy Name. 502, Holy Spirit, The Dove Sent from Heaven. Closing hymn is a little different than what is printed in the bulletin. It is 826, Hark the Voice of Jesus Crying. So 826, so move your marker. We're going to sing 826 for a closing hymn. And while I'm making announcements, unfortunately, we won't have a youth event tonight as was planned, so there will not be that barbecue at Christ Lutheran this evening. All right, well, let us begin with our opening hymn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. We allow time in silence to reflect on God's word and for self-examination. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy. And for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, the poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn to the insert and sing together the introit.
Lord, Glory be to God on high.
We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God,
the Lord be with you. Let us pray.
Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith and to worship the unity in the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for this Holy Trinity Sunday is from Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." This is the word of the Lord. We sing the gradual at the bottom, on the insert, at the bottom of the insert.
Amen.
The second reading is from Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we bear witness to that what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of the Lord. I invite you to turn to your insert where we have the Athanasian Creed, and we will chant this alternating verses. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit it is God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords. The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son. He
Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages. And he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age. Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity. One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God. For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ. Ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire.
It was
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So Holy Trinity, God revealing himself to us as he does in Scripture so that we may know him and also so that he may transform him into his image. He's the creator. We are creatures. Our understanding is limited. It will always be limited. Even in eternity, we won't be able to fully grasp God. And yet he comes to us so that we may know him. He reveals to us his might, his majesty, his holiness, and his mercy. And we are transformed by him. In the Old Testament reading today, we hear about God revealing himself to the prophet Isaiah, his commissioning, as it were. It's in a remarkable and transforming way. It will shape Isaiah and the work that he is called to do for the Lord, and he will never forget this experience. As Christians, you are in Christ. As you go through life with the Lord, you have experiences that the Lord uses to transform you. You can recall some of these life-changing events in your time here on earth. Some of you may have listened to or watched the Chi High graduation drive-through ceremony, and I was listening to some on the radio, and they were asking graduates their favorite memory from high school, and some talked about singular one-time events, and some talked about longer experiences that left memories, such as the development of friendships over the time that they were in high school. And these memories were significant and insightful because they were changing how these young men and women would live their lives. Graduating from high school itself is a life experience that changes the way that a person lives in the world. You have that one experience, but also you live subsequent to that. Things are different. As I mentioned, you've all had life-changing experiences as Christians that have shaped you and how you live in the world. These do occur as singular events. They also occur as experiences over time. Some of these when you enter the workforce or change careers, or if you're blessed to get married, to raise a child, if you've been through a divorce, or maybe your parents divorced, you've survived an accident, perhaps even life-threatening, having a lifelong friend, receiving a terminal diagnosis, or a loved one who's received a terminal diagnosis. When a loved one dies, all of these are life-transforming, significant events, and as Christians, the Lord is with you through these, transforming you. The Lord works through these experiences for his good purpose. In the Old Testament reading, Isaiah relays this singular event that transformed him. Isaiah does know the Lord, but this event will transform him from fearful to eager to serve unquestioningly. Isaiah sees the Lord himself in his glory and majesty. The Lord God sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. We are in the throne room of God. God's throne is the temple. And because the train of the robe has filled it, like the smoke of incense in the earthly temple, God permeates every part of his holy temple. The temple is holy because God is present. And there are these seraphim flying around, these angels, peculiar. Their name indicates that they're burning or have some kind of fiery quality about them. And they have six wings. Two are covering their faces because they're in the presence of the Holy God. They cannot look upon him.
And these messengers are calling out loudly, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." What's happening in this throne room of Almighty God? These fiery angels, they're praising God. And they're crying out so loudly that the foundations are shaking. The three holies are cried out because God is supremely holy. And Isaiah is in the presence of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the creator of all, the one true God. His robe fills the temple, and these strange creatures are flying around, calling out, praising God. Isaiah can't even see their faces. The whole place is shaking, filled with smoke. Isaiah, aware he's in the presence of God and has looked upon him, believes his life is over, as it should be. You cannot look on the face of the living God and live. He's a sinner, acutely aware of his sinfulness in the presence of God's holiness. The entire nation is unworthy to be in the presence of the holy God. The nation is proud. Isaiah believes he's dead, having seen the God, the Lord of hosts. And even in the midst of this frightening experience, one of these fiery angels flies toward him carrying a burning coal from the altar and touches his mouth. He says, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." In that instant, with those words, Isaiah's sins are burned away and he is transformed. When he hears the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Immediately Isaiah says, here am I, send me. He's been transformed. He's no longer afraid to be in the presence of the holy God. He is eager to go wherever God sends him. Why is this important, and what can we learn from this? God wants us to know him, and he wants to transform us. As I said, he does this through life experiences as Christians with him, through singular events, through experience over time. You can especially expect this when the Lord encounters you through his word. He comes to you through his holy word for this purpose. Consider a reading from Acts. This is part of Peter's sermon representing the apostles. He's confronting those who are gathered there for the festival of Pentecost. He's confronting them with God's word. "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." They are responsible for crucifying the one holy God, as are we. The reading goes on beyond what's printed for you today to the response. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart." This is a godly experience. "And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.' And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." They were transformed by God. Like those gathered at the temple that day, like Isaiah when the Lord came to him, we are sinners living amongst sinners. We are not worthy to be in the presence of the Lord. When you approach the rail to receive the sacrament of the altar, you approach the throne room of God. It's here the Holy Lord himself comes to us. We're in his holy presence, along with those angels surrounding him and singing his praises. And yet we're not destroyed. His holy blood and holy body touch your lips. Your sins are forgiven, as his word says. His holiness makes you holy. Christ's body broken and given into death, his innocent blood poured out from his pierced hands, feet, and side on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. These purify you like a fire burning away impurities. God took away Isaiah's sin. He knew it because the words were spoken to him. Your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for. He could recall those words throughout his life as he would tell the people of Israel, though they weren't not here, he would tell them of this holy God and his mighty mercy. You hear different words when you receive Holy Communion, but the words are true and the result is the same. Your guilt is taken away. Your sins are atoned for by the blood of Christ. Our holy God purifies you by his word that comes to you from his altar. Isaiah knew in his atonement in that moment that this was not dependent on him. He knew he was unworthy, as good as dead. And yet God purified him and he lives. It was the work of the Holy God working in him. Isaiah was transformed by this throughout his writings. He would refer to most often God as the Holy One of Israel. His holiness he experienced and knew. At the heart of his experience was this mighty mercy of God. God is almighty and God is merciful. God did not send the seraphim to speak his word to the people of Israel, to the people in Jerusalem on that Pentecost, or to the people around us today. God sent sinners who had experienced his mighty mercy. That's who he sends. Isaiah was eager to go without question. Consider how God has shaped you through experiences that you've had with him as a Christian. Recognizing his might and his mercy in your life, transforming you that you may go in service to him. Isaiah's life in service to God was far from easy, but the Lord sustained him and enabled him to carry it out, and including reminding Isaiah of his experience and the commissioning in the throne room. It was a singular event, but it shaped him forever, transformed him. Isaiah had this promise of God to hold on to as he would live through the devastation of Israel. Foreign nations would enter in, plunder their wealth, destroy property, kill and capture people. Many, including Isaiah himself, will be carried off into exile in a foreign land. And yet the Lord sustained Isaiah as he would recall the mighty mercy of God throughout his life. We have a meaningful mission ourselves. God has revealed and continues to reveal to us his mighty mercy to you. You've experienced it through the hearing of his word, what Jesus has done for you. Jesus was born to be the final blood sacrifice offered on the altar of the cross. God's wrath was poured out on him, and the supremely holy God was satisfied. The sins of the world were atoned for through his Son. Through Christ comes forgiveness, cleansing, reconciliation with God. When we gather to receive the sacrament of the altar, we're in the presence of God, in his throne room, full of glory, where angels are singing praises to him. We know this by faith, but that we know it more fully, that we're in his presence, exposed, vulnerable, at his mercy. We sing, "Holy, holy, holy," because he is supremely holy. We're in the presence of God with angels, archangels, and all the saints, and they are here with us. Jesus, the substitute sacrificed for the atonement of your sins, comes to you with forgiveness, cleansing, renewal, and new life. He'll touch your lips. He'll enter your being. Burn away the sin in your heart, evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness, all of it. He burns it away. He forgives you because Jesus has paid the price that you owe, suffered the death that you deserve. He'll cleanse you from all that has defiled you. He'll reconcile you with God. After the burning away, your life is restored and renewed in Christ, and he'll send you out into this world to speak his word, to speak of his mighty mercy, to tell of his glory, his holiness, to tell what he's done to you, for you, through his Son, and also for the world. Though people's lives have been devastated by sin, after the burning away, life remains and continues in Jesus Christ. He is the Holy One who sits enthroned above it all. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people.
according to their needs. Lord of hosts, your ways are inscrutable and your judgments unsearchable. Through your word, give us an ever-growing understanding of the depths of your riches, wisdom, and knowledge, that we may glorify you forever. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of hosts, Matthew, our synod president, Duane, our district president, Jeffrey, our circuit visitor, and our pastors have heard your voice calling them to be your servants. Grant to them the Spirit so that they can always say, here I am, send me, to whatever you ask. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, you delivered up your Son according to your definite plan and foreknowledge to be our Savior. Make our hearts glad in this faith, that our tongues may rejoice and our flesh may dwell in hope. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord of hosts, you sit enthroned as King forever. Bless President Biden and all who rule us in your stead with wisdom and understanding, that truth and justice may prevail in our land and lawlessness may be kept at bay. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, we thank you for the many blessings you have bestowed upon us and upon this nation. Grant us a long memory to recall those who gave the full measure of devotion to our country's peace and security. Bring to mind the sacrifices of those who served faithfully until death in the protection of our freedom and the defense of our land. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, uphold Jeff, Dan, Ben, Lois, Joanne, Mark, Lewis, Arlene, Marlis, Tim, Ruth, Lacey, Bernard, Linda, Mike, Marlene, Doris, Arlene, Michael, Carol, Mark, Alexis, Nancy, Sarah, Kara, Marlis, Erno, Ben, and all who suffer in our midst by your truth, that since you are at their right hand, they cannot be shaken. Gladden their hearts. Cause their tongues to rejoice and make their flesh dwell in hope. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, take away our guilt and atone for our sin by touching our unclean lips with Christ's cleansing body and blood, that we may not be lost but abide in your holy presence forever. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Receive the blessing of our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.